This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finediningpodcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10. For you and three of your friends, and you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh, if I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question, Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
So okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finediningpodcast. We listen to Keep the Candle Burning by Point of Grace, and we're going to talk about it today on Good Christian Fun.
Yeah, I'm a kid from Diego. I'm like, yuck. Hard.
Consider the source.
Hey.
God, consider the source.
It's me.
How dare you! I'm
oh, how consider dare the you? Source.
I'm a fan of my mom.
It's me, the source.
Some threat!
Well, you wake up in the morning. You hear the work bell ring. And a monster to the table. You see the same old thing.
I like
ain't
that.
No food upon the table.
Woo! Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
Ooh, I'm Caroline.
I'm Kevin. And we're here to have some good Christian fun.
Some good country fun today.
That was, of course, Bradley and Stephanie herself singing Midnight Special in a very vulnerable iPhone front-facing camera video from 2016 of Gaga and Cooper themselves at the piano,
wow,
just banging one out. And man, I was watching, Caroline, I was watching the Stars Born making of this weekend and having quite a blast just getting into it and watching
their
sincerity.
Yeah, you haven't recovered yet.
It's one of the most unhinged things I've ever seen. I love it so
much. It's just now occurring to me that video, which you so kindly showed me as well, was a cell phone, like a personal video that I'm assuming they took. And like, so they decided to release that, you know, that wasn't promo. That wasn't at a press conference or anything. They were like, they should know actually the talent behind
we've all gone through that where we're out with our friends and we're being a little silly and we're being a little cheeky or fun or entertaining.
Sure.
And then that's like slapping it on an IG story or something. That's the equivalent is putting it forever.
You think for them that's like, my multi-million dollar movie, this is a little something for the fans as well.
Okay, let me ask you a question, just a speculative question. Let's not go full du mois with it, but how many lives do you think Bradley Cooper's camera roll on his iPhone would ruin if it would leak? Just like how many? Like, it would ruin some, but let's
I feel like it would ruin at least one, and that's Bradley's life, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know who he associates with anymore, but I feel like he comes out on bottom, whatever it is.
I actually believe, yeah, that's exactly the way I would have put it in with those exact words. He comes out on bottom. Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we talk about Christian pop culture, the music, the movies, and the entertainment made for, made by, made about Christians. But we're not here to make fun of you or to make you go to church. We're just here to talk about Midnight Special by Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, baby. Yeah. Let's roll it again. Caroline, how you
doing? Nothing offensive here. I'm good. I'm ready to go. I'm very excited about our guest tonight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm excited about this song as well that we're covering today. How are you doing, Kev?
Really good. We were talking before we logged on into the chat how this is sort of a throwback for us to be back on Zoom. We've done so many in person. Mm-hmm. And through, you know, poor communication on my end, this is also another Zoomie, which, like, you know, I know everyone had like Zoom fatigue at the height of the pandemic and whatnot, but I actually miss Zoom and I'm nostalgic for it. I miss Zoom game nights. I miss playing Codenames with 9 little front facing squares.
Zoom
on my computer.
Baby showers.
I love
Zoom
it.
Zoom weddings.
I love toasting and listening, you know, with curiosity, silently muting myself and then just having a good listening face and making my eyes stupid.
Honestly, being on this right now a little bit after a few weeks of living, you know, mostly free, I'm like, oh yeah, this is what depression feels like once again to be on here. I remember.
We're staring down the barrel of it once again.
But not with this guest and not with this sunny day and this attitude. I'm not bringing that to the table.
Oh my gosh. You're not bringing it to the table.
Table!
Okay, let's bring in our guest before we freak her out anymore. Okay, friends and folks, you may know her as the host of many podcasts, including Even the Rich, In God We Lust, or The Rich and Daily. Give it the hell up for Brooke Sifrin! We did it,
wow,
Joe.
Nice.
Hey.
Hey.
How's it going, Brooke?
It is going.
Yeah?
Oh my gosh. So much performance.
Do you feel like we honored your energy enough via Zoom, that we overcompensated?
I do.
The sort of electric chemistry we'd be feeling in person if we'd been in person, that we leaped enough to bridge that divide.
You guys are going to be surprised how electric this really is through Zoom.
Okay.
I mean, you don't even know what you're in for, honestly.
It's electric.
I can't wait. I would love a surprise. Bring it all the way.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Oh boy. You know, again, yeah, I love it here. This reminds me of the heyday. You know, April,
yeah.
May 2020. Let's go.
Oh,
we're
boy.
Doing it all over again. Interrupting. No, you go. No, I'm sorry. No, you go first. Wait, how do I do a breakout group? No, it's the button up there.
Brooke,
to the left.
Have you done, I mean, Brooke, by the way, host of now 3 podcasts, mm-hmm. I would say, or I guess 2 currently, right?
Yes, but
there's another one. Oh,
you guys have heard it here first. We're doing 2 extra episodes of In God We Lust.
Okay.
So we just started recording the next one today, actually.
Oh, my gosh. Well, will you tell the listeners what In God We Lust is, even though I have talked about it at length on this show?
Hey. So, I mean, you guys heard Arisha, my co-host, talk about it, who was obviously the first choice for this podcast, and I was the second, but it's not a big deal.
Hey, we don't go by that sort of binary or hierarchy here. First choice,
no, that's
last
a ranking.
Choice.
It is.
Okay,
no,
actually,
right.
Caroline's going by that. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I'm over it or whatever. But so In God We Lust is a story of Jerry Falwell Jr. Mm-hmm. and his little menage a trois with mm-hmm. his wife and a sexy little pool boy from Miami.
That's right.
And, mm-hmm. You know, he just watched and giggled and had the time of his life, really.
Yes.
So,
former president of Liberty University. And right after you guys kind of... or I guess on the tail end of finishing up, the big news came out that he was like let go, and then he was suing them. They're suing him.
They're suing
right?
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now we're going to be talking about some of the sexual assault that happened on the campus, super lighthearted topic.
Yeah, you know, how do you navigate that? How do you make?
By the Falwell family, or just generally in the campus?
People on campus. Yeah. So
because you talked a lot to like Liberty students, and people who were into it or weren't. Yeah.
The eighth episode is we're talking with one girl in particular who has shared her story a couple times, and there was someone else who actually backed out, didn't want to talk about it. They thought In God We Lust was a little too lighthearted. Mm. And I was like, look, I don't know how else to be. That's just me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's our brand. Okay. That's who we are.
Right. And so, understandable too. I mean, that's what the show is for.
Yeah.
Too.
That's show, you know. Right. But yeah, so we got someone who was ready to talk about it, and it's the whole episode is about her. This and then the next one, I'm not sure what that one's actually about, but it's
heavy.
It's
stuff.
Dark. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely not as lighthearted as the rest of the series.
Yeah,
that is for sure.
Out.
So,
when you came into that story, had you heard of the Falwells before? Did you have context for them? And then now, knowing that you know about all that stuff, do you have different impression of like the, you know, American evangelical Christian world at all?
So I actually had never even heard of Jerry Falwell, junior or senior.
Lucky.
I knew of
Blessed.
Tim and – or I knew of Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
That was
kind of my view of evangelicals.
Yeah. Well, they're all part of the evangelical cinematic universe of Marvel characters.
They're
religious, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You have
they're
some
the
reference
face.
For them.
And no, my opinion hasn't changed. I mean, they delivered what I expected them to.
Okay.
So
yeah,
that
they kind of over delivered, I'd say.
Oh yeah. I just I love a good comeuppance. I love it.
Oh,
you know,
yes.
It's so fun.
Well, yeah. And two, it must be such an interesting position that you're doing it from, just given your experience or lack of experience, or you know, conversantness with that particular world, where you don't have some of the biases that may exist for people of whom that is true, or some of the preciousness in terms of handling the subject matter. There might be like a sort of objectivity that you can bring to the subject that some people
can't. I don't
know
that that's true.
Really? Well, speak on that.
I wish. I there were times during recording where our producers would be like, can you be a little less snarky? And I was like, I don't know if I can, honestly. I don't know. I have an interesting relationship with religion. It makes me uncomfortable, honestly. Like,
So this is a stretch, even being here right now.
Well, no. So I think it's not religion that makes me uncomfortable. I think it's more fair to say that organized religion makes me uncomfortable, and people that take it so seriously make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, but, well, and especially at that like level of like corporate interest, mega monolith like religion.
Yeah.
You know, there's spooky things about that.
But it's weird. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys want to get into it? Not to try and like
we
lead your
would
podcast.
Love to get
no,
into it.
No, I mean, this is the first
segue.
Part of the show.
Brooke,
perfect segue.
On.
Yeah. So we like to ask guests, like, what's your testimony? Do you have a history with faith? Did you go to church growing up or not at all? Like, what were your touch points with
it? So it's weird because I didn't grow up religious, really. I didn't grow up going to church, but somehow always found myself at church, like, which is so weird. And I was like talking to my parents about this today, and they're like, wait, what do you mean you always found yourself at church? And I was like, well, let me list all of these. Like, my best friend in elementary school, I would stay overnight at her house, and Sundays I'd have to go to church with her in Sunday school. And it was so awkward.
The worst.
Because I just, like, I don't know. I've always felt like if I'm at a church, they're judging me. Like, they can smell the liberal hippie on me. Mm. And I'm just like, but, and they're probably not judging me. That's like my own internal, like, fear. But I always felt so out of place because I know nothing about the Bible, not at all. Like, I know nothing. And I'd be sitting there in like her Sunday school just like pretending like I know what the hell anyone's talking about.
Just trying to like stick out. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like my boyfriend in high school, his family was, I'll say, holiday religious. Like, they would go to church on the holidays. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
priest or Christian.
And yeah. And I would somehow end up like in his little like Sunday school thing. And I'm like, why am I always finding myself in these situations? And then my aunt, or aunt, if some of you say aunt, I don't. she became super religious just out of nowhere. Her and her husband like joined this church in my super small hometown. And my mom was always like, well, let's be supportive of her. Let's like go check this church out. Let's do that. And my dad and I were always like, do we have to?
So many ways to support someone, you right, know. And yeah.
Let's not limit ourselves here.
I mean, let's get creative.
In a small town, there's not that many.
There's brunch.
Right. So like I was at her church so many times to the point where I joined the choir.
And you did? Oh my gosh.
I don't know how that happened. I think I'm such a whore for performance that someone was like, do you want to be in the choir? And I took it like Moira Rose in Schitt's Creek. And I was like, they need me. They need my voice.
Clearly, they
said
they needed talent. Yes.
Yeah. So I like joined the choir for like a week. I don't know. I honestly have no memory of deciding to join and leaving that choir. I have zero memory for some reason of that, but I think I sang with them once.
What the hell happened in this choir that you blacked out for 7 days?
What did they do? Oh, it was so weird. But I've always, and like, I've always felt so awkward, but. And this is also good for your show. The one thing I always loved was the music. That was like the one thing where I was like, and my aunt's church had, they called it a praise band. And honestly, her and my uncle were kind of the ones who changed it around to this like hip thing. And
like more contemporary music.
Yeah, like they reworked
like,
the music.
Yeah, okay.
And I loved it. Like I always loved that music. And so that was like the one thing. There was, maybe you guys can help me discover this band that I don't remember their name.
Let's figure it out. We're on the case.
Yeah, we can do this.
So some friends of my parents were also super religious and we'd end up at their church. This is another example of me just like ending up at people's churches. And they had this family band performing and they sang a cappella. And the daughter had this like really deep voice.
Okay.
And they sang, I'll sing it for you.
Okay.
Here we go. Oh,
she was like, Jesus, he gave me water, Jesus. And they would like harmonize. Does that ring a bell for you guys at all?
Jesus,
Kevin, do you have anything?
He gave me water, yeah.
Were they well known when they arrived?
It was
like, oh, this is a famous band.
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. And it was like a brother, a sister, a mother, and a father. I'm pretty sure they were like selling cassette tapes because this was like in the 90s or something. And
this
I loved
might have
it.
Been a homegrown operation.
It may have
it
been.
It might not have been a CCM star family because I feel like we would have known, right, Kevin?
I'm trying to think.
Band.
I mean, the first thing I think of when I think of family vocal bands is, of course, the Gaither Vocal Band, which is a traditional gospel vocal band. Bill and Gloria Gaither, who've written many, many songs together. And they do have a version of Jesus Gave Me Water, but I
okay. But do they have a daughter that sings in the Gaither band?
They explicitly don't allow daughters to sing.
That checks out.
Yeah, but something, yeah. Wait, I think we might be able to play a clip here.
I'm gonna let his praises swell.
That's not it.
It's too jazzy.
No.
Oh, okay. Jesus gave me water. I mean, I will say, Jesus gave me water, not SEO friendly. I'm going to throw it out there.
True. I mean, I've tried to look and I've just,
Jesus
any
gave
song
me water.
With water.
Daughter,
I mean,
question mark.
A lot of results.
Right. Like, super deep voiced daughter. Like, I have no idea.
This was like a big deal. That was like their special music for the service. Yeah.
Just like the way they harmonized. And I just loved it. And like this same family, we went to Florida with them. And here's another example. We ended up at a Southern Baptist church.
Whoa.
And which was wild. Like truly wild. And
what was that like for you?
Well, we were the only white people, of course. Like
they were
a fully black church. They were so like upbeat and like just the music was so good. Like just like gospel. You know what I mean? Like what you would picture. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yes.
And I feel like actually that's probably one of the only times I didn't feel super awkward, surprisingly. I don't know why, but
the time in which you probably literally stuck out like a sore thumb the most is when you felt more the most at
home
and easy.
Yeah, so weird. Yeah, like I got soul. I don't know. It was actually really interesting. And it always sticks out in my mind of just like this. I was just like in awe of them because it was so fun.
I mean, in I've only been to like a real like black church service one time as well when I was a kid too. And yeah, it was so striking, so different.
Yes.
And just better, honestly. And like, but I, yeah, I think the thing you're describing too is like there is a lot of weird like just social formalities and like tics that are at like evangelical churches, I know, I guess, from growing up, that just like little social things that would be enough that if you had never been there before, you just don't know like how to integrate, or like you don't know how to pull open the Bible verse that you're supposed to be looking at the same time as everybody else. You know, there's like so much stuff that we would take for granted growing up there.
What's going on. I had to light candles one day at like this dinner, and even that was challenging. Like I couldn't figure out candles. Like I was, I had this long thing, and I'm like lighting the candle from the bottom of the wick, which is a complete
how is that even possible?
It's not, Kevin. It's not possible.
You're like, well, I'll just melt it down until I find a wick.
Sweetheart, you'll never make it in the church.
Seriously, that's what they were all thinking. I know this.
She's lighting wicks from the bottom? Oh, God. Yeah. Jesus.
They're like, this hippie only knows how to light weed. I don't know. I was just like...
That's not even a religion thing. That's just like a life thing. You gotta go
exactly.
figure out.
But like, that's how uncomfortable I was. Like, and finally, I think someone was like, panicked. Light it from the top, stupid. Just like those moments. I don't know. Like, I just always felt so weird and like not like myself. And I don't know what that is, like why that is. I truly don't know. Because I've had really good friends who are super religious. But anytime they want to like talk to me about it, I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I don't know. So I
It can be intense.
Yeah.
And you don't always know, too, if that's like a good, well, not to pun, but like a good faith conversation where they do just want to like exchange ideas, or if it is kind of like, hey, Brooke, I'm sensing that maybe you're open to this. Perhaps I can persuade you, you know, in like a small way. But
I don't know.
It's been so interesting, even like in the post-vaccine world, because there's a there's a church I attend sometimes, and when that comes up in conversation, the sweat that starts coming off my brow.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The sense of the gymnastics of over-explaining, like, well, it's not this kind of church, and it's actually kind of hippie, and it doesn't really believe in anything, so who cares, and it's safe, and don't be scared of me. All that stuff is pouring out of me again in the new world.
I mean, this time we're in is a weird, like my aunt, she's super religious, very conservative now. And she didn't used to be. Like, back in the day, she was, like, smoking weed, all this. Like, she was very not the same person. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's different. It's different now. Like, the time we're in, it's different. So, like, to even talk to her, and my mom's brother, too, is super religious, like, speaking in tongues religious. Mm-hmm. And he's just a trip to be around. Like, it's just a different world.
Yes.
So it's weird because you don't know what's going to come up. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of assume, and that's not fair to do, but you assume that if somebody's super religious, that they're also probably very politically conservative. As far as the vaccine goes, they probably don't believe in it. And that's not fair. I mean, that's not a fair assumption to make, but...
Yes.
It
but
is
it's like
one.
It's super common.
It's not uneducated like as an assumption.
World. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's not like wild. Yeah. I can't
wait to see your reviews after this episode.
Oh, no.
People are going to hate me.
This is tame. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Oh, truly the tamest.
What kind of show do you think? We're actually a pretty cool Christian podcast.
The listeners are pretty cool. Pretty chill.
Oh, our listeners fuck. Like, for real.
All that to say, Brooke, like, we have probably alienated any listeners that don't fuck at this point.
That's really
completely off the
planet. That's a really fair point.
So you're in a safe space. You can say whatever you need.
I mean, you had me at the screen name Caroline's Farts, so I knew that it wasn't going to be, you know, too judgy in here.
Well, Brooke, I'm so glad you brought that up, because the farts actually, for me, reminds me of the Holy Spirit.
Oh,
and
that's
always, it's like the air I breathe, it's the air that comes out of me, it's the air that's in, he is in me, he is in you, and I'd love to talk with you more about that later.
He's in me, he's in you. The farts transfer in Caroline's
love
vision
to take in your
of
farts.
Them. Well, and I guess, beautiful. Too, there's a way in which the broadness of Caroline's handle on social media, that's her white woman equivalent of the black church that you experienced, which was so, you know, wild.
Very uncomfortable with that.
And boisterous. It was so wild and boisterous that it somehow made you feel at home. by how bold it was. It was such a strong choice. How gorgeous that music was. How authentic.
You're bringing up points.
The sound.
Yes. Well, I hope I speak for my community when I say, Brooke, I'm so glad you felt welcome at that church.
Oh, yes. Yes, your community.
Yes, I got you.
I got you, girl.
Yeah, that's cool.
You described yourself, I think, before as an atheist. Was that always the case? Like, it was.
Did I say that?
Said a liberal hippie. Kevin assumed some things about you because of that as well.
And now what I'm checking my biases. Wow.
What did we just learn?
Oh, yeah, my nothing. God.
Assumption.
Listen, you know, no tap, you know, screenshot apology right now. I'm listening.
Yeah,
I'm learning.
Get that drafted.
I'm stepping out. I'm stepping back right now. I mean, yeah, how did faith just generally work for you when you were a kid?
So I'm not an atheist. Mm-hmm. I will say that. I do believe that there is something bigger than all of us. I think we'd be stupid to believe. I mean, or we could just be some alien science project. I don't know. You know what I mean? And they're not doing well. Like, they're getting enough.
Stupid,
the aliens scientists. Are flunking.
Yeah, hardcore.
I love the idea that this is it. We are being controlled by the aliens, but the aliens happen to be morons. And like, that's our existence.
I should have studied for this one.
What did you create?
Yeah.
Did you guys ever watch The Twilight Zone?
Of course, yes.
So there's episode of The Twilight Zone where all these toys are like in a box, but they think they're real people and they're like, they think they're trapped in this like,
oh my gosh,
bunker, and they're trying to get out. And then you realize at the end, they're just toys in this kid's box.
Whoa.
And I'm like, that could be us. Like, that could be us
100%.
In some bigger thing. God. We're just somebody's project.
Wow.
The gates of heaven are actually the doors to a very bureaucratic lab system we will be deposited into. Yeah,
it could be, you guys. That could be what's happening.
That is true. So for you, it's just like there's possibilities endlessly.
Like, I believe, I'm a big, I love to manifest. Arisha and I talk about this all the time. I'm like, you need to pull your weight. Like, I'm manifesting for both of us. Every career thing that happens is because I'm manifesting it for us.
Okay.
You need to step up to the plate. She's like, I know.
She's just a moon set, orbiting your gravity.
Seriously. Like, stop hitching your wagon to me. But I'm like, you need to learn how to manifest. But I love it. And like, I learned a lot about it like a couple years ago, and I fully believe in it. I think the universe is what other people think of as God.
Well,
so,
what did you learn a few years ago about manifesting? If you had to break it down and kind of like deconstruct how it works, as you put it.
So it's basically like, I know a lot of people know of The Secret. Mm-hmm. So I guess if it's like easier to look at it from that perspective, it's basically just the power of positive thought. So like, to manifest, you basically put yourself in the situation you want. So like, let's say you want to be a millionaire. You're like, I'm a millionaire. I have a really high paying job. I have a beautiful home. I'm happy. I have the perfect body, or whatever it is you want. Like, you say that, you put yourself in it. And I was manifesting for my dream career, basically. I've always wanted to host. I went to college for broadcasting.
Oh, wow.
And then we booked Even the Rich, and then everything else that came after it. And that's why I said, like, Arisha basically is just getting my manifestation.
Your manifest
like, she's
dust.
Benefiting from it too, because we're a pair. Not every night, but a lot of nights, I like thank the universe before I go to bed, because you have to show gratitude. I sound like such a hippie right now, but
you
have to like show gratitude to the universe. And to some people, that's the same thing as God. And I've had moments in my life where like, I will pray. I have to pray before I fly, always. Mm. And I have like, this could be also OCD, but I have like a way I go through it. Like, I pray for very specific, like, safe takeoff, safe flight, safe landing. And then I have to do the same thing before we land. So I don't like believe that there is no God, or, you know, I always, and I've had moments where my dog, for example, had like this bump on his neck and I was freaking the hell out. And it was like at night and I couldn't sleep. I was like bawling my eyes out because I'm an absolute psychopath when it comes to my dog. And I like prayed for it. Like, I prayed for him to be okay. Mm. And maybe like minutes later, I just fell asleep. And I was like, I feel like there was just this like calming, and I fell asleep and it was fine and I didn't worry about it. So there's like moments like that where I'm like, okay, like maybe there is something greater going on.
Yeah.
So
yeah. And would you say, like, just to help me understand, too, like, that the you differentiate it from like God or any sort of religious God too, because the universe isn't necessarily like a conscious
right
being that's like, yeah, oh, Brooke asked me for something, I'll go to it. It's more of like it's drawn to like your positivity,
yeah,
just through like its natural,
yeah,
physics, I guess, of the universe.
Yeah.
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 Okay, cool.
I don't know. I mean, God could be the universe, the over. I mean, I don't know. I think God is whatever people believe God is, and that mm-hmm differs for religions, and it could be the same person, and who knows, or the same being, yeah, or whatever.
I like the idea that God is an incompetent alien who means well, but just cannot get his shit together.
He just can't figure it out.
Like, he's not evil. He's just like, oh, yeah, shit.
Like, he peaked. He peaked when he created dogs, and then right, it was just downhill from there. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, I
a real Tenenbaum situation. Is like, okay,
yeah,
I'm crushing it in my early life and now, oh, yeah, boy. Oh,
I'm starting to think that might have just been like an accident, you know, like he was trying to create a monster but couldn't even right get that right, you know.
Failed at that too.
All right, this thing's gonna be scary. Wait, it's a dachshund? Oh shit,
it's got claws.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know if yeah anything I say makes sense, but it makes sense to me.
And here's the thing too, like it's so difficult and reductive to ever try to describe like your own spiritual life, especially if it doesn't fit in like, you yeah know, a special script of religion or something like that
right
that you already know. And so, yeah, it feels vulnerable. And I also feel like an idiot sometimes when I have to describe it, because yeah it's different than like what your rational mind would describe, you know,
right,
what you would say. So
yeah,
don't feel bad is all I'm trying
yeah
to say.
I'm yeah pretty comfortable sounding stupid. Okay. I mean, I don't care. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, we got to be at this point. How many hours of recorded audios is there
yeah
of us
not
talking
all gonna be 100%.
On mic? Listen.
Seriously.
Out of 186 smart episodes, one of them's going to be your best, and one of them's going to be your 186th best.
Right.
On
yeah
the scale.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Yeah. This is episode like 186 as we're recording
it
right now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, Brooke, also, you clearly have manifested being on, yeah, one of the best podcasts of all time, and I'm glad to be a
wow
part of that. I'm
you said it.
Be a
that
part
situation
of that. Yes, and God, we
yeah
lost. I know, for Arisha, we did pitch as an alternate title, In God We Bust, and she didn't seem to want to adopt that one. But let me pitch one to you right now, just on the subject
okay
of like Mr. Falwell and his freaky three ways. Mm-hmm. What if, you know, and maybe for like another season that you do of it, mm-hmm, you could call it E2 Mama God Being.
Oh, wow. Maybe naming stuff isn't what you should be doing, Kevin. Like, maybe that's not your strong suit.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm totally
no, I
kidding
need to hear this. And friends tell each other the truth, especially at Christmas, like Love Actually said.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Instead yeah of Liberty University, it could have been Give Her to Me.
Give Her P University.
Give Her D.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Give Her D.
Give Her D.
Yeah,
D
yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Give Her his
yeah
D.
Yeah.
Yeah, they... They're not asking. They're just doing it over there.
Do you think Losing yeah My Religion is Jerry Falwell's song because it starts with the lyric, that's me in the corner.
Giggling like a little schoolgirl. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
Love,
that's where he likes
gosh
to be.
Gosh, he's something, huh?
Baby.
He
yeah
I made the
something
mistake of looking at his social media, and I was like, you're not okay.
I don't even do that.
I don't know why I did. Oh,
that's
you know actually why I did.
Self-care choice for me. Oh,
somebody,
okay.
So Wondery posted about In God We Lust, uh-huh, and somebody in the comments tagged him.
Oh, nice.
Why would they do that?
Hmm. I don't know.
Rude.
Well, he knows
I'm surprised
about it
he still has a social media account, to be honest. Like, I would have thought, just wipe it. You know, it's caused
I'm not
a lot of trouble.
Here's
he doesn't
my
have that foresight.
This like, is my favorite. I'm looking at his Instagram right now. 10 weeks ago, his second to last post as of recording this is him with a very, very close up selfie. And the caption is, I got the first Moderna vaccination today. The place was almost
okay
empty, and he and here's the best part of it, guys, is he says, please get vaccinated so our nutcase of a governor will have less reasons for mindless restrictions.
Wow. I mean, look, however you have to look at it to
however
just get the damn
however you
shot
get there,
that's
my
the
friend
thing. I'm like,
it's so crazy.
My first impulse is like, come on, but I'm like, wait, is this genius? Like, appealing to that, like, you want
to
own
the libs? But for him to post
libs
about it,
get
too,
the vaccine
and own it,
get
you know
it. That'll
yeah
show
pretty
them. Yeah.
Did you see the most recent one? Also, by the way, it is gruesome. Mm. It's like a surgery photo. Mm-hmm. And don't look at that. Don't recommend that one.
No, it's been a while. I haven't looked at it in a while. The post I saw was like he was riding a horse, and his caption was like, "Thanks global warming," or no, yeah, "Thanks to climate change, I can ride a horse in December." And I was like, "Are you okay, sir?
Horseback riding in January? Thank God for global warming.
Thank God.
What even a thing. Me horseback riding, yeah, poning the lips.
And Caroline, I don't know about you, but I'm getting some Jackson Maine vibes right here.
Oh yeah, there it is.
Yeah, he's looking tan. He's looking good. Becky, just happy as heck.
She's loving it. Loving it. She's like, finally, you're the one doing the riding for a change. Oh! I can watch.
Who is he, folks?
Who is he now? Because now I feel like he is really getting to be who Jerry is in a lot of ways, you know? He's got nothing to lose maybe at this point.
Have you heard any response from him from the podcast at all?
No, he does know about the podcast.
How do you know that?
Well, because our team did reach out to him and... Mm.
Due diligence.
Yeah.
And he
I can't really say because like we can't like you know like there's sources that are like a source close to the Falwells said so that's someone in his camp or whatever
he has to like through he some knows. Way know that
he knows about
happened.
It yeah
interesting how does that feel for you
I love it he probably loves it. He probably absolutely loves it. He's probably got this same canvas on his wall.
Yeah. We got to understand
all your merch.
The man who he is. I mean, there's a world in which your podcast is a soundtrack for, it might be his sex playlist, given his.
It could be.
His shame kink or whatever you want to.
Yeah, and because of what he thinks it is, he's like, here, listen, I'm on TV. Did you see this?
Yeah. He's like, thanks to global warming, I can sit outside in January and listen to this podcast.
Love it. With my pants now. Oh, man. Well, Brooke, thanks for sharing your story and your side of the story and the way you think about things.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with the new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that can kind of propel me into
to feel as incredible as you could feel.
To exercise more, to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry. There's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. It's time for another edition of Singles Ministry.
It's Singles Ministry.
Getting noisier, Caroline.
I was gonna say, did you add some horns today?
Yeah, I made it like a little bit hornier today. Singles Ministry is the format on our podcast in which we take a single song, we talk about it, we talk about the lyrics, we talk about the themes, the spirituality, the metaphors, the dynamics, the musicality. And then we give it a roast or a toast at the end. Now, Brooke, we were talking a little bit about your previous experience with Christian music. Truly, yes. I think from just a cursory Google, the most famous version of Jesus Gave Me Water is by Sam Cooke and the Soul Stirrers. I'm sure you're familiar with Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is not quite the version that you heard, but this is the most famous one, I think.
Jesus gave me water. Jesus gave me water. I want to let his praises swell.
So that's a good song we're not going to talk about today.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
We have a no good song policy.
Right. That's fair.
Generally on the show. Yeah. That's kind of the standard operating procedure. But in terms of other song, do you have memories of the brief blackout time of in that 1 week of you singing in the choir, of other music that you encountered otherwise besides Jesus Gave Me the Water?
Yeah, you know what? It's hard. I can't think of any of them right now. Like the thing with Christian music is like I'll hear it and be like, oh my God, I know so many of these songs just from that praise band time. But like, I can't think of them now.
But there's a way in which there might be like a sort of born identity situation. You might be out in the wild 5 years from now and just hear something and it like unlocks something. You
I'll get activated.
You bolt straight to a sanctuary. Yeah. Or you start doing your hands up like Carolina.
I actually, so I sang a Christian song for my high school voice recital.
Okay.
You were like, into the music.
Just come, but this was
that
thing,
was
like,
your
I
manifesting. It is drawing to you, Brooke. You need to listen to these signs. Like God is telling you.
Should I be
you
a
just
Christian
keep
singer?
Happening to be in a church. You just keep happening to sing Christian music. What? Okay, so it wasn't chosen for you. Who chose the song?
So,
the Christian music.
God did. No, I'm just kidding. So my teacher, my voice teacher, I had a voice class in high school. I don't know if that's a normal thing, but so we did like a recital at the end of the year and he's like, I really want you to sing this song. I honestly can't even remember the name of the song. Mm-hmm. And it was like, he's like, it's so powerful. Like, I just want, and at first it didn't really dawn on me that it was a Christian song. I was like, oh my God, I'm so flattered that he wants me to sing a song. And I was like, okay, I'll sing it. I sang that and All That Jazz from Chicago. They could not be two different, like two different songs.
Well, she has range is what they
she
learned.
She has the yeah. range.
She can do this. She can do that.
Exactly. Was definitely yeah. more comfortable with one of those. But yeah, so like, what's the song that you guys did with Arisha?
Oh, we did Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Oh, yes.
The first I had of like one of those songs that you might have sang in high school.
Yeah, that was definitely.
Only Hope, maybe? That feels like a good high school recital song. The Mandy Moore Switchfoot joint.
It wasn't that. It was not a popular song.
Okay.
I had never heard it. And I hate that I can't remember it. I should have thought of this before I got on here with you guys.
It's okay.
It's a little pebble in our shoe.
If it comes back.
Another mystery for the GCF sleuths to solve on the next case.
So many songs that I don't know. I could actually reach out to that teacher and see if he remembers.
Well, the song we're talking about today is a song called Keep the Candle Burning by a vocal quartet of white women in the contemporary Christian space called Point of Grace. Point of Grace was a quartet who's now, they're still going steady on.
Really?
They're still going in the, you know, the 2010s and the 2020s. They're now a trio. So they did, you know, there were some fallen soldiers along the way. No, they did not pass. No, it is not. There is not. I mean, yeah, I guess that could have been the case. Man, maybe I should do a quick goog just to make sure. But no, I'm
maybe,
pretty sure that's
yeah.
not the case.
Double what check. Happened? I need to know what happened to that fourth member.
He probably just like didn't want to do it anymore. I feel like that's the likeliest thing.
Yeah, Terry Jones left in November 2003 to spend more time with her family after the birth of her third child.
I didn't want to stereotype, but I was going to say it was probably to like be a mom. Yes. Honestly. I mean, that's just sort of the vibe I get.
But that's, you know, that's the MO for many a person, male or female, of retiring, but especially for a CCM group aimed at mothers in particular.
Certainly. Yes. I mean, if this were a different era, they would all be mommy bloggers just looking at them.
Absolutely. Well, they kind of are. They released a devotional book. That I did purchase on Kindle because I was just kind of curious about it. And some of this stuff is awesome. There's little devotionals and kind of Christian inflected wisdom about expectations, fear, gratitude, perseverance, texting. And they,
texting.
One of the mothers of Point of Grace talks about how this one actually made me laugh quite a bit. My youngest son informed me the other day, I have rude texting etiquette. And it's basically her defending herself for like her son told her where he was going and what he was doing. And she just responded, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
100%. That is rude. When I get a K, I'm like, you're dead to me. You clearly don't want to speak. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah.
And it's become this way to like let someone know you're mad too, I feel like. Like, okay, well, I'm going to tell you I'm mad, but I'm going
to
respond.
Yes, and I would argue it's even more damning now to receive a K because we have the tap back feature where we can just thumbs up something which communicates the same thing without the
passive
aggression.
That's the same level
aggression.
Of like either support or dismissiveness, I would say. Mm-hmm. It's like the K.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have an iPhone, so I can't do any of those like... I know.
Okay, this is probably better we didn't do it in person then, because, you know, there's a ceiling to this technological connection.
Sorry.
So Keep the Candle Burning, this was a song that they had in 1996. And just like a point of reference for Point of Grace, they are probably the most like the female group Wilson Phillips, who we must remember from songs like Hold On, etc. And there's even parts of Hold On that sound so much like Keep the Candle Burning. I was listening to it today. Like down to the instrumentation and the way that the harmonies work. This is the end credit song from Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids.
Look around. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds so much like it. It's crazy.
It really does.
our point of reference with them.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, listen, tale as old as time. Music, the history of music, the history of rock and roll is artists stealing from other artists. It's just part of the lineage of it. White artists stealing shamelessly from black artists.
Right.
Christian artists stealing shamelessly from non-Christian artists at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe we'll find a little something interesting in this song, Keep the Candle Burning, released in 1996. And we'll just listen to a little clip of it right now.
You think you're alone there in your silent storm, but I've seen the tears you've cried. Falling down and trying to drown the flame of hope inside.
Let me tell you. And that's the only verse you get.
Tell you now. When you're walking in the dead of night, when your soul is churning, when your hope seems out of sight, keep the candle burning. All it takes is one steady heart. In a world that's turning, shine a light and pierce the dark. Keep the candle burning. Keep the candle burning.
And this is definitely one of those so on and so forth songs. It's like, yeah, and then we're going to do this a couple of times. There's another verse, though, technically, Caroline. There's another verse.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
After
I'm
that.
Sorry. Yeah, I was just saying, you're right, right.
Of course, yeah. They talk about when you're down and you're discouraged, when the darkness clouds your view, you've got to gather up the courage. You know the Lord is going to see you through. Let me tell you now, tell you now. Although, aside from that line, you know the Lord is going to see you through, the central metaphor of the song is not specifically religious, Christian, mm-hmm. Judeo-Christian, Protestant to speak of. The idea of like, when all hope is out of sight, walking in the dead night, keep the candle burning, is such a general, evergreen, ubiquitous metaphor. It's literally whatever you want it to be. In this case, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ, I guess.
Yeah.
But honestly, it's one of these that you wonder if they were maybe sort of designing for trickery. As far as the listener goes, where it's like, oh,
well,
maybe.
We would never ever accuse the POG ladies of doing something
the notorious
dishonest.
POG.
But they're better known. You're right. I this could be like either a Christian song or a poem I would have read in like Woman's World magazine.
Woman's World.
It's very. In the grocery store.
Like, yeah, I just picture a lot of mom jeans when I hear that, you know? Like,
yeah, it's cozy.
Just them in a black room. Like, I don't know.
There is a...
Wait, mom jeans in a black room. That sounds like
yeah,
a
Yeah, just them
like
in
a dirty
jeans
night.
And they're like Karen
or
haircuts.
Or Phoebe Bridgers
just...
lyric. Mom jeans in a black room. No, but keep the candle burning. It does sound... It feels like it could be a sign on sale at World Market next to the Live, Laugh, Love...
It doesn't slap the way Wilson Phillips does, though. I gotta say, it doesn't. And I first listened to it, because I've never heard the song before, obviously, I was like, they better break it down at some point the way Wilson Phillips does, you know? And they kind of do a little bit with like the chorus, but not in the way I needed them to. Yeah,
like,
I needed
like
to really,
acapella, right?
Yeah, like I just wanted more, you know?
You wanted more groove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I get
wanted
that.
To be like, oh, okay.
I understand.
Yeah, this
that.
Is a song that I was like, this is probably really fun to sing. And that's it. You know, like the musical instrumentation was meant to be, like soothing, I'm guessing.
Yeah,
you
they
know?
Harmonize really well.
Harmonize
I will
beautifully.
Give them that.
Yes.
That's I found it in my adult life, long before we ever started this podcast. It was a nostalgia trigger where if you sang the first line or two of it and someone else finished you, you had to be a close friend to them just because of the... We shared whatever you want to call it. Shared trauma, shared experience. I remember doing that with my friend Katie many, many years ago in a Uber in Alabama. Somehow this song came up. It's loaded.
Very Jackson Maine of you
that,
as well, Kevin.
How do you mean? Yeah, speak on
An
that.
An Uber in Alabama.
What do you mean?
A song came on. I sang two lines. And if she finished it, that's a lifelong
At the table. I mean, he's watching Bama. Over us right now. Isn't that beautiful? And for the listener, I have a poster of Mr. Maine above us. And, you know, we don't want to push our religion on you in any way, but I do feel like Jackson is watching over all of us now. You know, just yes. kind of up there. Dangling in the big garage dangling. In the sky.
Heaven.
What?
It's poor taste. What poor taste. Oh my God. Oh Lord. Yeah. I was gonna like get excited about the phrase "your soul is churning" because I've just never heard it put that way before, and I was like, "Yeah, that's a real feeling like I've had, and that's like a good descriptor." But then I realized it's just what rhymes with burning.
That's where it's
like a soul thing. I mean, it's still some work in there.
Yeah, that's
but
okay.
Though,
just because it rhymes,
it's special, right? Yeah, no, it felt kind of cool as far as like if I'm looking for unusual spiritual elements in this song, you know, as far as like a Christian song goes, I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, and just to contextualize it for you both and for the listeners, Point of Grace did get a lot of acclaim at the time for being one of the only female groups that would talk about IBS in such a candid, open way. And so when your soul is churning, that was kind of like an allusion to that.
That's brave. They are brave.
And they were brave. Yeah, they made the cover of CCM Magazine of like so IBS icons.
Grace. I mean, they launched the Church of Caroline's Farts right there alone. Yes. I mean, that was sort of where it all began for me.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's right. Which is, of course, an extension of the Black Church in so
brave.
Many ways.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
So brave. So brave. So keeping the candle burning. It's just keep hope alive. Keep the faith. It is just another way of like, don't lose hope. And listen, our candles, it was hard to keep them burning, I think, for most of us these past 15, 16 months. It was tough. True. A lot of winds coming for our candles to blow them out.
I mean, it was tough for me because I was lighting them from the bottom of the wick. You know what I mean? So it was hard.
I mean, Brooke, I'm sorry. We brought out such a triggering song for you to remind you of past failures.
Yeah.
With Brooke, it wasn't even so much keeping it burning. It was getting it to burn at all in the first place. Yes, getting it lit. To begin the lighting of it was somehow a challenge.
Well, I mean, there is a phrase, you know, like burning from both ends of the candle. And you were just like, I want to finally give the butt the love that it deserves. You know, like people underestimate it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, no, this is a good spin, Caroline, because Brooke trying to light the candle from just one end, even though it's the wrong end, was actually a rebuke of hustle culture in 2021. Of like, we're not doing both ends anymore. We're not working ourselves to death.
We're actually doing the wrong end. Yeah. And that's really subversive. That's socialism.
That's what being a girl boss
is. That's Marxism. That's turning capitalism on its head.
Yes.
To be honest, this song, like the central metaphor, I know you're not supposed to like go after metaphors too hard, but that's what bothers me about it is that candles like definitely go out pretty quickly, you know? And I know that that's the phrase or whatever, but it's just like, I mean, if you're trying to convey like keeping it going longer than you're able, like a taper candle is just not going to do it for you, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, like a lamp would be make more sense.
That's actually
at least,
true.
Like, refill.
In my or perspective of the song, I don't see it to be like they need an infinity candle or whatever the case may be. I think it sets it up in the chorus when they say when you're walking in the dead of night. So it's for a little walk. It's when
it's
things
night.
Maybe you're you know
it's when things are dark,
whipping your way through the woods or something.
Which is arguably the hardest time to keep a candle burning with all the wind and
absolutely.
All, I mean, so. They're really working against themselves, if anything.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. And shine a light and pierce the dark. It's also, about like bringing light for others, perhaps, or your own path to make sure you figure out where you're going.
Mm-hmm. And in the liner notes for this album, they do say this song takes place in Chicago, a.k.a. the Windy City. So you know it's even harder there.
Yep. Exactly.
If you're walking in
context
the dead night.
Everything.
In Chicago?
Yes.
That is a huge effort.
It's like a song tie into Twister. It's like over the end credits of that. There's a segment we often do on the show called Cover Me, where we go to the old YouTube, my favorite streaming service of all time, YouTube.com, and we check out, what did this song mean to other people? What does this sound like from the hearts and minds of others that are not the original artist who sang the song?
The twisted mind of the YouTube community.
It's so weird you're doing that because I listen to it on YouTube. looked at the comments.
Perfect.
Oh, you found like other covers of it?
Oh, covers. Okay, oh, no, yes, no.
This is covers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, right. I see. I read the comments.
Wait, what were the comments on the video that you watched, though?
People loved it.
Oh, yeah. We can actually look at the comments right now. Yeah. It's.
Yeah. They were like, my mom loved this song.
Aww.
And it's
this song got me through a lot of dark times. The Lord always sees
because they had a candle.
My mother used to love this song, lost her 8 years ago. Every time I listen to it, it brings me so much joy to my soul. Gotta remember to keep that candle burning.
People love it.
Because okay. Anyone on a nostalgia spree?
Well, you know what's funny? This video was posted in 2011, mm-hmm. and I was like, is this song seriously from 2011? I was like, this has such a 90s vibe. And then I saw that it was from 1996, and I was like, okay, that makes more sense. I was like, whoa. All
right. I mean, that wouldn't be crazy for a CCM.
Okay, I want to know this guy's story. This gentleman right here says, hearing this song in 2017 for the first time at the right time.
Dot, dot, dot.
What brought him
here? Yeah, how'd you get here?
I really like this song. It's very encouraging. Smiley face.
Keep the candle burning. So relevant.
Yeah.
Wait. What does that say? I decided to keep the candle burning in my life and spread this song to people.
Song to people so they can see that it's the only thing to do. So they can see that it's the only thing to do.
All right, Teresa, just, live
Keep
your life.
Keep going. Oh, we're naming names. Caroline's naming names in the comments. Oh, my gosh. I love Point of Grace. I love this as a child. Yes, a lot of nostalgia comments. But, this
Nothing
is a
support.
A current song for some people. I found a cover that some children did of this song.
Oh.
That is...
Okay.
In my opinion, it sounds shockingly good. These must be, 12-year-old children
Think
doing this.
You belong there in a silent storm, but I've seen the tears you've cried.
This is Roxas National High School. The band name is Gracia Infinita. I'm fucking up that name. But I was shocked.
Yeah, they're good.
Listen to the harmonies, though. Let me tell you now. This is from 2015, 6 years ago. I thought they sounded good. It was like a cute little kid cover. Yeah. I don't know. So there's
that.
They
obviously forced that one kid to be there. He's like,
there's one gentleman
on
that looks a little checked out, as there often is.
If I'm going to fail, I guess I'll come. Yeah. It's like, all right.
I wanted a School of Rock. This is not what I had in mind.
I need the credit.
This is
going to be.
There's quite a few, friends. There's quite a few covers. Okay,
this is like security cam footage. Scary.
Yeah. So, okay, here's one from 2004. It's an 8-minute long video. I've skipped to the midpoint, and I think one of the children had their electric guitar jacked up too much. So it's someone trying to sing the song, and this guy's kind of wailing on it in maybe a way that's incongruous with the song.
God.
Wow. Is he the one facing the back, probably trying to fix it?
And they're trying to adjust the guitar.
In the front.
Okay, this actually fucking rules. Okay, it does sound like a cover by Sex Bob-omb from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Just absolutely punk.
Not exactly encouraging, but definitely metal.
And there's obviously quite a few choir covers of this song of varying degrees of quality.
It's a lot of children.
Still, young singers are, you're just so uncomfortable in your body. You just freeze. And I was one.
Here's another high school from 2017.
Oh, boy. That one, they sucked out whatever rhythm was in that song.
Yeah.
They took even less of it out.
And then here's one. Here's a high school production from Los Altos High School in 2001. This is a 20-year-old video. And the choreography that goes with this song, I don't want to overuse this term, but it does feel a little bit Lynchian.
Like David Lynch?
Yeah. You'll see. Just, I could put a drone under this and like speed it down by 30% and you'd have nightmares for like a week.
I know the red background on that too. I mean, they were like, that was a really assertive.
Oh, man.
Candle burning.
I mean, what does keeping the candle burning mean for us? How are we keeping the candle burning in 2021? Brooke, how are you doing it?
I don't know that I am.
Oh. Again, she's having trouble lighting it.
I just can't figure candles out. You know what I mean? Like, they're just the one thing I can't figure out. I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I've been quarantining for years. Like, 2020 meant nothing to me. I love being home. I love staying home.
It meant nothing to me.
It meant nothing.
2020 in the corner was like...
Yeah, like... Ouch. I don't even know you. You don't even go here. And I'm just like one of the, I'm an only child. So I'm just one of those people that I like, I can hang out by myself at home and be totally fine.
Yeah.
And like, obviously my anxiety was like at an all time high in 2020. Like, I'm totally playing it cool. But I don't know. I just like, I do well in this environment. Like, Zoom.
It didn't feel soul crushing.
No, like Zoom means like being on Zoom is fine for me. You know, like, I don't know. I don't.
You were built for this.
It defeated me. Yeah, I was. I mean,
good grief.
I mean, I can tell your home thriving. Is just gorgeous. So it's not like the setting was bad
thank
either.
Thank you so much.
Maybe, Caroline, so maybe much. Brooke is someone who doesn't even need a candle. She doesn't need to keep it burning. There is no candle. There is no spoon.
Whoa.
She can just walk her way through the night in the dead of night. And just use her vision, which is like super good.
Look at her. I have this candle for smell alone. I don't need
for
to light
smell
it.
Smell alone. Yeah, no, it's not even for
just
lighting.
Give it a whiff.
I didn't even know that was a feature it offered. I thought
was
it was
say my candle is burning, but it is from TJ Maxx, so it smells like.
I mean,
not great.
This one,
but it'll
is
do.
Too.
Yeah, I default. Unfortunately, I'm basic with it. I default to the little soy boys from Target. And I like them.
Soy candles are
Mrs.
good, though.
Myers?
Probably. I'm not exactly sure what the brand is. Just whatever.
Do you know about these manly indulgent candles?
I've heard of them where it's like birchwood, leather,
ball sweat. Well, this one is warm tobacco pipe.
There it is.
And they smell really good.
Really?
Like, they really do smell really good.
Well, the like manly candles that they sell are like at, you know, TJ Maxx or Target or whatever. Mm-hmm. They usually aren't leaning so fucking hard on the vanilla and the sugar.
Right.
Or the like orange that every other candle does.
Yes.
It's just overwhelming to me. Yes. So you can get, you know, it's not quite the boy smells candle, you know, but it's a little bit something more in that area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like masculine scents. I tend to go for masculine scents.
Yeah.
Other things. So.
And then
of grace, response. Do you have any sort of anything to say about masculine scented candles? Yeah.
I mean, it does beg the question, Caroline. Remember, we had that wonderful, kind listener make us custom candles for us a couple years ago.
Those so good.
Wow.
One of them was called Virgin Champagne. One of them was Paddington candle. What? There was a third one, wasn't there? Maybe.
There was.
Because there was one for you as well.
What was it?
Was it Irredeemable Bitch Scent or something like that?
Probably.
Yeah.
Like Rihanna's ass smell or something like that.
Kevin, they made you two candles and they made one for Caroline. Is that what I'm understanding here? There was three candles, two for you.
I do think the Virgin Champagne one was, you know.
Was also for you, yes. Because it was a term Caroline coined on the show.
I actually tried to go buy another one and I think her shop may be shut down.
Yeah, the shop
maybe
is down
for
now. For
a little bit,
yeah,
bumped me out.
Shout out to
I really
that
wanted
listener.
To get more virgin champagne. That was a good
But
time.
Is this, Caroline, is this time for us to fill a market? We put out custom scented candles of GCF icons, Carmen's jacket after a show in Vegas.
Ooh,
that's a scent.
Yes.
Michael W. Smith's bus, Amy Grant's barn,
Michael Tate's journal.
Okay.
I would love
it
to read.
Smells it like tea.
It smells like spice. Okay. Some tea. Yeah. Yeah, we could definitely do that. We should do that.
There's something.
Do you know what
here.
You guys should do?
What's that?
What?
You guys should do choreography on TikTok to these Christian songs. Like these old 90s Christian songs. Like you should just do weird TikTok choreo.
Bless your heart for thinking that we're good enough to do that.
Or that we haven't tried to go viral on TikTok before and failed miserably.
We tried and it didn't work.
But what
we only tried once, too. You have to try like several times.
And it was to a song we wrote, so of course it wasn't going to go viral.
It was a mistake.
Right. Yeah.
But we had written a song on our Patreon, and then we also, actually, I didn't even really make choreography to it. I kind of just... I asked other people to do that, and
so
then they didn't.
Every component of this formula was bad.
Yeah,
from the start.
A couple people did, but yeah, it didn't quite catch the attention of TikTok the way we'd hoped.
Not
but we
yet.
Need to try again.
It might be a slow burn. Greatest Showman was a flop when it first opened, and then that box office multiplier just kept
Dixie
it going.
D'Amelio. It took at least 3 months for her to get a million followers or whatever. So.
Yeah.
There's time for us.
There you go.
You guys can do it.
I believe in you.
Well, anything else we want to say about this song before we get a roaster toast? Have we interrogated the themes properly, friends? Have we really gotten into it? What it means for your soul to be churned?
The soul should churn.
I think so.
I have no further thoughts. I'll say the rest in my review.
Oh, yeah. Well, then the way this works, Brooke, is we're going to give it a holy roast or a holy toast. Holy roast... is a thumbs down. That's if we don't like this song, we say to this song,
no, 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 no.
Holy toast, that's a thumbs up. Yeah, and it goes to hell, unfortunately. Okay. Holy toast is a thumbs up. That's when we send it to heaven and we say,
yeah, 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 yeah.
So we'll start with Caroline as per usual.
Oh, this is a huge toast for me. I have been singing just the part that goes, kick the candle, burn it, for months. Before even this episode, I still have it in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it's almost a Jack Antonoff melody, right? Where it's like, kick the candle, burn it.
And, corniness aside, I do really appreciate a song that is about encouraging you to stay strong and to keep going when things are hard.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're not cool songs. Usually, because they are. They're corny, and they're
right.
But they are necessary for us, and I need them too, and I will listen to them privately, and I will not show them any playlist to my friends, but they make me feel better, and I think there's totally a great place for that, so that's a toast for me.
Folks, on that Spotify settings page, there is a playback feature where you can do a private listening session, and I can't recommend it enough. We turn it to Brooke.
I'm on the fence. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's fine. I
will say, over the course of this podcast, I have started to like it more.
Mm-hmm.
When I first heard it, I was like, I don't know.
No.
But now that I've heard a bunch of children perform it, it's changed my mind.
Yeah. Famously, children singing something makes it way better.
All children.
Always sounds good.
So I'm gonna give it a toast. I do.
Wow. Yes.
Some constructive criticism for the band themselves. I think they need to break it down a little harder next time.
Break it down harder.
Something I need from them. But
like double kick drums on that chorus.
Yeah.
And just really hitting that crash ride.
Get the beat drop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want the beat.
You want like an EDM dubstep drop, like Trouble, the Taylor Swift song.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. But it does have like some redeeming qualities that, takes it away from the roast, I think.
Wow.
So I'll give it a toast for now.
Okay.
A toast from Brooke.
Very gracious of you, Brooke.
Very point of gracious
point of
you.
Exactly.
Yes.
Good grief. Well, I, folks, it's a unanimous holy toast from the GCF podcast. We say Keep the Candle Burning is a great song. The nostalgia factor, the absolute amorphousness and generalness of the metaphor, I think, is a strength that'll keep it aging well for years to come of the signature song. The one performance I found of Point of Grace doing this song on YouTube, they did screw it up a little bit, which was very funny.
Relatable.
That is relatable. But you know what? The candle went out a little bit for the part of the lyric they screwed up, and then they relit it and they kept it going.
Yeah, it kept going.
And isn't that a lesson for us all? When Caroline and I do episodes of this podcast where it's like, ooh, not feeling the flame right now, we keep showing up and we keep the candle burning.
Listeners, the least you can do is to keep showing up. Do not quit.
Please light our candle. Please.
Yeah. We'll keep it going for you.
We'll keep it going, but you can give it a roast or a toast yourself at Christian Fun Pod. Get out there.
Pokemon,
and
go to the polls.
We did it, Joe.
Ooh, I threw it back to "We Did It, Joe." Maybe on purpose.
We did it, Joe.
Okay, we're bringing it down now. We're dimming the lights. We're lighting the candles, and we're keeping them burning.
Yes.
And Brooke, for this portion of the show, maybe transport yourself back to an uncomfortable church service you attended with a friend of yours. Where you felt fully out of place and kind of alienated, and you were kind of confused as to what exactly was going on. Because we're not here to promote ourselves or to plug our projects. We're here to lift them up to the Lord as a loving, humble sacrifice. Okay. And by lift them up, I mean just say where our social media handles are, where people can listen to our shows, what our shows are. And maybe even something that we're enjoying in the secular culture. So that's not Christian at all, just something you watch or listen to that you love, that you want to tell people about. And we'll start as per usual with Caroline.
Drop your pears, drop your grace, drop your panties for me at Caroline's Farts. That's where it's all going down. Nice. Something I'm going to lift up this week. Actually, this is accidental, but in the vein of some of my encouraging songs, but this song is good, is Stand For Myself by Yola. And it's just really good. The way it builds, like if you're not caught at the beginning, just stick with it. It's really good. Yeah. And I love her as an artist. She's just amazing. She's the best.
Yola, not a sponsor of the show. Zola was once a sponsor of the show.
Oh, nice.
Makes you think. Should Yola be a sponsor of the show? She's getting free ad time right now.
Yeah, at this point.
Just putting it out there. We turn it to Brooke.
So you can find me at Brooke Sifrin. I don't know if my name will be spelled out in the, in the description of this episode.
We're going to put like asterisks in there if we can't figure it out. Yeah.
Great.
Do a little guesswork.
And you can listen to me on Even the Rich, Rich and Daily, and In God We Lust. And hey, if you happen to be a fan of The Challenge on MTV, which you may be, you can listen to the Right Reality podcast too.
Oh my gosh. And I
too much
said this with Arisha as well, but Brooke, I love Even the Rich. I love In God We Lust. I listened to all of them, and they really did brighten my days on some hard ones in the pandemic.
Good.
And you two are so funny together.
Thank you.
You literally educated me on the Murdochs, like everything. I did not know enough about things.
I know.
And so I just love the way you all approach it and keep it fun and interesting. So
thank
you. A little gift. What's the last thing you saw that you love, you want to tell people about?
Actually I just watched The Housewife and the Hustler. The documentary about Erica Jane. She's a real housewife, and her husband, who like screwed a bunch of people out of money. And it's a very good story. I'm pushing Wondery to let us do like a mini series about it because it's so juicy. So I do recommend that. That is some good stuff.
Okay, great.
The Hustler and the Housewife.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Someone's been reading my fanfic. Okay. thank you, Brooke. You can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter everywhere. Here's something that I've returned to that I want to lift up. I don't think I've lifted it up before, but there's an episode of Chef's Table featuring Christina Tosi of Milk Bar fame and Momofuku fame that is just so... I don't generally watch food shows. I wish I was more into them.
Really?
But it's that particular episode and just like... her original conception of the way she does cake and her famous pie from Milk Bar. It's a very moving, compelling look at creativity generally, not just specifically baking or food. And she's someone I've like really been interested in like getting into her like philosophy on things. And I think it's so applicable to anything you're doing in a field, creatively or otherwise, the way she kind of looks at things. And that episode is just very warm and easy, and she's a fun person. I've been trying her recipes out recently. I made a version of her cake for Caroline's birthday. Ooh, a couple
like
weeks
the cookie
ago.
Crumble one.
Yeah, everyone legit thought it was from Milk Bar.
Wow.
That's how, like, on point it was. Kevin nailed it.
Which was, like,
a hard cake to do, by the way.
Such yeah, that's not an easy cake.
I will say, for real, no bit, I do have burns from the caramel that I used to make the caramel popcorn cake 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
Because some did drip on me at 400 degrees, and it did scald me, and I probably have scars on my fingies for the rest of my life.
But now you're like a real baker. Like, if you don't have scars all over your arms and hands, you are not a cook.
Trial by fire. Yeah.
Real chefs don't have fingerprints or anything anymore. They don't.
Yeah, that's right. No fingerprints. No untraceable.
Small price to pay for my yummies.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll lift up. Chef's Table. It's on Netflix. Christina Tosi's episode. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun, or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We donate $1 to charity for each review you leave. This one's charity is Refuge House. Brooke, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Brooke, such a pleasure.
On the show. Yeah. What a joy.
Thank
and
you.
Keep that candle burning. Or you know what? You don't even need the candle. just keep that
keep
fire burning within you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be. And there's nothing left to say except for an all of Pod's people said.
Amen.
All right. Now, let me see if there would be a fun cover version of this song to go out on. From YouTube, because there's a few covers that we did not play. Oh, you know what? This isn't quite a cover version, but to Brooke's point of like, we should do TikToks with choreography, here's what these children are doing.
Exactly.
The dancing.
Caroline, let's rip this off.
Real sparse crowd, by the way. Like, there's fewer people in the crowd than in the children's
than dancing. Yeah.
Boom. Roasted.
Cool. Sad. Support.
They don't care about crowds. They're just keeping the candle burning in a church.
Exactly.
November 9th, 2020, baby.
My God.
So Caroline, it's actually probably good.
That's actually, yeah. Wait, that's why they're all spread out. Probably actually.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Sorry to these children.
Sorry to these children.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.